team. As most of you know, or many of you know, Erica and JB are moving to Columbus, Ohio, to serve in a church plant that their friends have started, and they're going to be leaving us. And today is their last day leading worship. They've been leading worship here for, 6 years? And we are just so grateful for all they have brought to enhancing our worship. And they have had a heart for worship or for missions for a long time and have been searching where God would lead them. And he's led them to Columbus, Ohio. I mean, they may have thought greater things than overseas somewhere, but God's going to lead them where he wants them and he's going to use them. So this morning we want to commission them and send them off. They are part of our church family, so we are missionaries we are sending off. They're not leaving us. They'll always be a part of our church family. So we want to send them off. They're in the process of selling their house. It's probably going up, but next week. So over the next few months, they're going to be back and forth and in and out of here a little bit. So this morning, we want to commission them. So if you guys would come on up, if the other elders would come up, we want a prayer, of blessing over you guys and send you off with all of God's praise. And I think JB wants to say a few words before we do this.
Yeah, we just wanted to share a little bit of what we're actually going to be doing there. It's a lot of what we're doing here. so two friends of ours and the one's parents, they've started a church, the Capital Church. We're repping our stuff. So, so they have a heart for Jesus. They went to Iowa initially to be a part of this ministry called the SALT Network, and it's a college ministry reaching colleges all across the nation that generally don't have an outreach going to them. And so they were looking at, part of their process was to be trained to go then start another ministry elsewhere, and Columbus is where they chose. And we'll be reaching Ohio State. When they were first looking into the area, they contacted a lot of local churches not wanting to step on anybody's toes coming into the area, but it found out none of the local churches had any outreaches to the university. And so they were just like, praise the Lord, this is awesome. It just shows that we need to be here. All the churches were on board and were like, yeah, we want to partner with you. We want to all work together to reach Ohio State. And so we're not on staff or anything. The Lord, they reached out to us for support, and we were like, yeah, we'd love to support you guys. And just the Lord started working in my heart and was like, what if you guys went and joined them? And I did not say anything to Erica yet. And they did a little follow-up Zoom call and were just telling us more, keeping us in the loop. And so that ended. And then Erica and I just got to talking about it a little bit. And she was like, hey, so I've been having this stirring in my heart. And I was like, oh, boy. Well, if the Lord's working separately in us, then we should probably really pray about this and consider it. So we did, and the Lord has just opened so many doors, just connected so many things for us to confirm that this is where he's leading us. And so it is a step of faith. There's still a lot of unknowns, but we're just following him and trusting him to get us there and trusting him with that ministry as we seek to grow it. So,
amen. Well, we, as a church family, want to bless you and send you on your way, knowing that you are a part of our family and part of God's family. You're an extension of grace going there. So we just want to pray over you guys and ask God's blessing.
Father, you are a good father. Lord, we thank you for the years of faithful service of JB and Erica. Lord, for their leading us to the throne of worship, for giving us a deeper insight into Jesus and how he is indeed the King. Lord, as they follow your leading to Columbus, we know for sure that you will be with them. Lord, guide them, keep them, help them to know your presence there. Lord, as they minister amongst college students, help them to love them and to draw them to yourself. We praise you and thank you for the good work that you do in them. Lord, just continue to do that. We pray these things in your name.
Lord, We thank you so much for these two beautiful people who are friends, family, mentors, so many things to so many people. God, we thank you and praise your name that you have given us relationships with JB and Erica. We thank you for how you have blessed Grace Church in this community with them, the work that you've done individually and together through them in their marriage and their relationship together. We thank you and we praise you for that, God. We thank you for their talent, their ability, their willingness to serve, all of the things that they have proven over the years of being here, of how they love you and how their heart is completely set on you. We thank you for that, God. And we thank you, Lord, for how the body works. You've created it in a way that the relationships that are bonded on you, where you're the center of those relationships, they transcend location. They go farther beyond distance. And we thank you for that. So no matter where they're taken, Lord, they will always be a part of the body. And on that day of the resurrection, we'll be together. So we got to keep that in mind. And we pray that as they leave here in the coming months, that you will strengthen them, their marriage, their personal relationships with you. They will go out from this place into another place and change the world in an amazing way, that they will find new and better and crazier ways to reach lost and broken people who need the salvation of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you. All of this is in your name because you are a good Father that works in amazing ways, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you, God. We praise you. And in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We want to pray for John and Amy as they mourn the loss of their children and grandchildren. I have grandchildren who are out of town, and we miss them terribly, and I know you guys will too, but they go with God's blessing, and we're grateful for that. If you walked in the center doors, there's a table out there with a book on it. It's called Gentle and Lowly by Dane Ortlund. One day, 100 of these showed up at our front door. I don't know where they came from. I don't know if anyone ordered them. I haven't seen a bill for them. So I've read through the book, and on Christmas Day, we're giving you a gift. So grab a book on your way out and read this. It's a good book. So Merry Christmas again. We're just glad to be here worshiping you with you today. Last week, we had our musical celebration, which if you were here, man, it was great, wasn't it? Seeing the kids sing. We had a group of college kids up here playing ukuleles. We had the choir come back. That was awesome. We haven't heard a choir in a long time. They were really good. So thanks to everybody who participated in putting that together. And last week's message, as short as it was focused on how heaven celebrated Christmas. And that was by bringing glory to God. And this week, I'm preaching on the same passage of Scripture with just a little different aspect of it. And that's in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. So the challenge last week was to, in your celebration of Christmas, find a way to glorify God. So this week we're going to look at that same passage, and I'm going to read that, Luke 2, 8 through 11. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." And I'm going to stop right there, because as I was studying this passage for last week's message, it struck me that heaven described Jesus as the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord. Now, when a new baby comes into our... We have three new grandbabies coming into our family next year, and we're going to introduce him as a baby. Heaven introduced Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord. And it struck me that they introduced Jesus as they have always known him. I mean, the angel is a created being by God. And they have always known Jesus in heaven as the Son of God. Jesus is the creator. The Bible says everything was created by him and for him. So he is more than a baby, isn't he? He is the Savior, our Lord, our Messiah. So if you think about heaven knowing Jesus all this time. So they're just looking down and they're introducing me as a baby. How strange that must have felt. But they didn't. They said, here's Jesus. He is the Savior, the Messiah. So the question is, how do we view Jesus today? How do we see him? And then how well do we know him? And what difference does he make in your life today? What difference does Jesus make in your life? I mean, Jesus has been known for 2,000 years, and the world has always known of him. But they don't all know him. But we as followers of Christ do. We know Jesus. The question is, how well do we know him? And is he making a difference in your life day to day? Is he really making a difference in your life? We're not just coming to church on Sunday and then going home and living our life. Does he make a difference in everything you do, in every circumstance you face, in every temptation that comes your way? Does Jesus really make a difference? Does he make a difference when temptation comes, when trials come? Does he make a difference in your marriage, at work, in your neighborhood? Because if he's not, are we really being obedient? Do we really know him? See, the world deals with troubles and trials and difficulties in a whole different way than we as Christians should. They may turn to drugs or alcohol or video games or some other escape to avoid their problems. How do they deal with marriage when it starts getting tough? A lot of times they bail out, not worth it. Or do they at work, do they do enough, just enough to get by? But as followers of Christ, he should be everything. He should be sufficient for all our needs. He should impact the way we parent our children, the way we love our spouses, the way we go to work, the way we deal with our difficult neighbor, the way we handle those temptations, the way we deal with our past and some of the troubles we've had. How can Jesus make a difference in your life? And when we think about him, he is everything. He is our all in all. He is sufficient. And one way that I was, as I was thinking about this, he ought to make a difference in the way I view my future. I know where I'm going when I die. We are assured of our salvation, aren't we? As followers of Christ, we know where we're going. 1 John 5:12-13. It says, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. As followers of Jesus, we know where we're going. We are assured of our salvation. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, deal with that today. Please see myself or one of the other elders. We'd love to tell you about the good news of Jesus. He makes a difference in your life. God loves us so much, he sent his Son from heaven to pay the penalty for your sin and mine, so that we could be reconciled to him and have eternal life. We know where we're going. We are assured of our salvation. But on the same level as that, if we know Jesus, we are deeply loved. We are deeply loved. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. We are children of God. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we were born into his family. We are his children, and you are deeply loved. So many people go through life never feeling loved, never feeling that love from other people. But know this today, God loves you deeply. He loves you so much. And his love is unconditional. Nothing can separate you from his love. Romans 8, 35 to 39. It says, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate God's love. If you remember nothing else, remember that God loves you deeply. He made you purposefully. He made you wonderfully. Before you were even born, he knew who you were going to be. And he loves you just the way you are. And his love is the basis for all the other blessings we receive from him. His joy, his peace, his hope, his comfort. All of those find their basis in God's love for us. I love this passage in Romans 15, 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy. Do you experience real joy? That's what Jesus can do for you. He can give you that joy that is inside, that nothing can squelch. That joy that only can come from him, knowing that he loves you, made you, is walking with you. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So as you go through difficult things in life, Jesus gives you that joy. As you proclaim his word, and maybe you share with a friend or someone at work and they kind of push back, consider it pure joy that you suffer for his sake. Joy, that thing that's inside that is unexplicable. That's the same with peace. Peace, that inner contentment, that inner happiness that God says, I give you peace. A peace that passes all understanding. I mean, we've had many in our congregation who have gone through some really difficult things, and yet they've shared they've had a peace, knowing that God is with them and he's got them. When we have Christ in our life, when we allow him to live in us, he gives us joy and peace that passes all understanding. And he gives us comfort. I mean, how many times do you have a little pity party for yourself? You're feeling down, and God just gives you comfort, like he wraps a warm blanket around you. Or it feels like you're sitting in his lap, and he's just encouraging you. And he is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us all in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. So we receive comfort from God, and we can take that and comfort other people during their troubles. What does Jesus mean to you on a day-to-day basis? He is everything, isn't he? I mean, the worship songs we sang were just great. He is our all in all. What about hope? Do you find hope in Jesus? I mean, we already know we're assured of our salvation. We know the end game. We should have hope. So many people go through life without hope. They're stuck in addiction, a bad relationship, whatever it may be. They don't see any hope. But in Christ, we have hope because we are loved by him and cared for him. We have hope in Christ. Does Jesus make a difference in your life every day? I mean, James 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the way. He says, I am the light of the world. So when we have Christ in our life, we have a place to go to, so we know the way we should go. We know the way to God. We know the path to take if we're following him, if we're letting him live in us and let him change us on a daily basis. He is the truth. John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus. He is the truth. You're uncertain what you should believe? It's in here. This is the truth. God's Word is the truth. We can follow it. If we have him in our hearts, if we're allowing Jesus to change us, unsure what path to take, seek him and he will show you the way. He's the light of the world. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So we can live a life in Christ, not just of getting by, but we can live a full and abundant life, one with purpose, one with meaning, if we allow Christ to live in us. He's our strength. We all know Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But I like John 14:12. It says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. We can do greater things than Jesus did because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. That's life, a life of meaning and abundance. Are we going to let Jesus change our lives for the better? Are we going to allow him to get us through the circumstances and the troubles of this world? Are we going to let him change us from what we were, lost, to a new life in him? We've seen a lot of change in our church over the last year. God is working in the hearts of people. We're seeing change in people. We're seeing them their heart come alive. We're seeing them interested in studying the Word and growing in him. But we need to do more. We need to allow God to work in our hearts more than he ever has. If we're going to make a difference for him in this community, in this world, we have to let him be a part of our daily life. Not where we leave here on Sunday morning and we go home and watch the bills and we do the same thing. We go to work and do the same thing we've done. He needs to be a part of every aspect of our life. Are we going to let Jesus in to do that? My son goes to a church in North Carolina, and their mission statement is, real people looking to the real Jesus for real change. And that kind of sticks with me. Real people. No masks, no facades. We come in and we're real. We bare our soul. We admit our faults. And we look to the real Jesus, not the one that we all wish he would be, you know, the nice, warm, and cozy Jesus, the real one who will take you and drag you to Columbus, Ohio, when you never thought that's where you were going to go. He'll take you to places and have you do things you never thought you could do. But if real people are looking to the real Jesus for real change, not just the superficial stuff, the stuff where he changes your heart, to the point where you want to just go and serve him, where you want to worship and praise his name, where you actually have the guts to go next door to your neighbor and tell him about Jesus. We got to be real people who are willing to let Jesus change our lives. Now, to do that on our own, that's tough. We need each other to do this because it's going to get tough along the way. It gets tough along the way. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have each other in this room to help us do this. But let's be a people that make a difference for God's kingdom. But the only way that's going to happen is if we let Jesus change us in our day-to-day lives. So as the worship team comes up, let me ask you this question. Does Jesus make a difference in your daily life? Are you going to let him in? Are you going to let him change you? And he'll do it if you'll allow it, and it'll be a tough road. But do you want to experience his joy, his peace, his comfort? The power that he gives you to do greater things than he did. But you have to seek him. Seek him with all your heart, and you'll find him. So let's be a people who seek the real Jesus for real change. Let's pray. Father, I got to admit, there are times when my heart doesn't want to go through all that change. I don't want to take you to take me to places that I'm uncomfortable in. But God, you have called us as your children. You've called us to be your ambassadors in this world. And to do that, we have to allow you in to work in us and through us, to do your work, not ours. You want to live your life through us. That means I got to get my life out of the way. So this morning, Lord, I pray for myself that I would submit myself to you, to allow you to work in me and through me, to change me to look more like your son, to have a heart of love and patience and gentleness, to have a heart for you, to do your will, to reach the people who around me who are lost. Lord, this world, as we look at it, is just falling apart, it seems. And people need you desperately. We have the answer. You are all that we need. You are all sufficient. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your power reigns within us. And this morning, we've gathered to worship and praise you, who you are. You are like no other. And yet we are heirs with you. We are brothers and sisters in you. Oh, so God, I just pray that you would work in our hearts to align ourselves with you, to submit to you, to let you live in us, that we may change this world. But that change starts with me. So Lord, do a work in my heart for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.